Every party has a pooper, that's why we invited you. Party pooper, party pooper. Every party has a pooper, that's why we invited you. George Bach.
Party pooper, baby, that's what you are. Party pooper, baby, that's what you are. Party pooper, baby, that's what you are to me.
Every party needs a pooper, that's why they invited you. Party pooper, party pooper.
Welcome to the Fireworks Brigade, a pyro podcast starring Johnny Star and Ron the Banker.
Job all about
fire.
John.
Well, I have to say,
what
I really did like the Party Pooper song.
Now, you did?
I wanted to hear it, and I'm glad I heard it because, and how fitting it is. It's basically the last night of NFA,
right?
You know, and we wrapped it up in oddly fashion for Johnny Star. I did not go to the demos tonight, which is unbelievable that I missed. We had two sets of demos going on, some Road Mavericks, you know, they started their own little demo shoot somewhere else. I don't even know where it was at. They weren't going there. So about five companies were shooting there. There was about five companies shooting at the racetrack where we always go every night, the professionally NFA held one. And then you can tell by the looks of this room here how sparse it was out there from what I heard.
Right.
So we decided that the Star Fireworks team was going to just not go to either one of them because, you know, I'm going to be seeing these in China in September, late September. And, you know, after about 4 days of, you know, and in between the rain and everything else, it's like it felt good to take a night off. And you know what? And no people shooting tonight. We're not really going to. I'm going to see one of them in China and the other ones. I'm not going to buy from them anyways, probably pretty much. And basically, when you go to as many demos as we do, we pretty much cover everything you can imagine.
Yeah, and we sound a little jaded because most people love to see as many fireworks as you do. But after a while, just like anything else, even for the guy who's sleeping with Giselle Bundchen, he's tired of sleeping with her after a while, right?
Sure, yeah.
You get tired of.
I'm sure he doesn't say that on the air.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. But I mean, after a while, you get tired, and they all start to look the same. Actually, before I got down here to the Afterglow, which was where we're at in this banquet hall here. I was in the elevator with a couple of gentlemen with the badges on, and I was like, "Oh, you guys didn't go to the demo?" And they're like, "No, we're just drained." So it is. It gets on you, and it's a long drive. But I mean, you know, you want to be there, and you want to support everyone else, and you want to watch. But at the same time, like you said, you know, you walk around, you talk to other people. I mean, you were out in the lobby earlier today, while of course Dino and I were in the pool, you were out in the lobby.
Weird,
weird, right?
Yeah, real weird. Yeah.
Well, and Dino and Steve didn't really, you know, they weren't really twisting your arm to go to the demos tonight. They were bunkered up with.
They're like, wait for five more minutes and 10 minutes. Well, by the time you wait all this, you might as well not even. And that's why I thought they're not into it anyways. And I wasn't. You know, I'll be honest with you too. I wasn't into it. I mean, at one point I was thinking of leaving tonight. You know, because of, you know, just you get burned out. And like I say, I mean, you're talking about, I was in China in April. We did the, you know, we've worked very hard during the 4th of July season. We had the PGI in August. So this is kind of like the wrap down. And this is great for people who aren't going to China. But, you know, in another 3 weeks, I'm going to be in China. So it's going to start all over again. So,
well, and compared to PGI, this is really low pressure. I mean,
this is
just social. It's a completely
this is all
social thing.
Yeah, this is. But this is what I like about it as well, you know.
And so. I died laughing today. I was standing by some booth. I don't know. They all sound the same. But I overheard a conversation and, you know, our podcast from PGI, Johnny Maverick, right? Johnny Maverick, fireworks guy. But I heard one fireworks guy talking to another, talking about how he had heard at the PGI that you had gotten everybody in trouble, and that's why, you know, that's why there was all this PGI drama.
Really?
Stuff. So yeah, he said another vendor that was in the same barn as you complained because your stuff was too good, mm-hmm. and that's why everybody got in trouble. So they're blaming it on
yeah.
you. Yeah, so.
I know. You know,
I was like, Johnny Maverick strikes again.
Yeah,
his reputation precedes him.
I did feel I did feel the hostility in the air at the PGI, but you know, of course, it wasn't. But once again, it wasn't my fault because they stuck me in the back building where I do not belong, being the oldest member there, and I mean the longest member in the PGI as far as vending, and probably one of the longest, you know, lifetime member. I'm a lifetime member, for God's sake. So I mean. So yeah, so they stuck me in the barn with all the newbies, and then the newbies are complaining because they have no business, and then they say I get everyone in trouble when it's funny that all the overloaded stuff was found on somebody else's tent. So I mean,
they just need to get some better product.
Yeah, I mean, if you just can't.
Well, they're the party poopers.
They are the party poopers, once again, I'm just trying to survive.
And I saw this definition. There's an actual definition of party pooper, you know, Webster's Dictionary, whatever. And I thought it was pretty funny. And I'm glad nobody ever thought to look this up because I'm sure, you know, as we were growing up together, somebody would have called me this. So the actual definition of party pooper, and maybe this is actually pretty fitting for, you know, Dino, our buddy Dino. The definition of party pooper is a person who throws gloom over social enjoyment.
So would that almost be like social anthrax?
Yeah, cinnamons. Yeah, social anthrax.
Yeah.
Cinnamons or whatever. Killjoy, spoil sport, wet blanket, sourpuss.
Yeah, that sums it up. Yeah, that sums
pretty
it up.
Much, that pretty much does it right there. Yeah. So we're at day two of the NFA over here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I like how they all call it GR. Is Grand Rapids that long of a word? You just can't say Grand Rapids?
That's like people say Froyo, right? You can't say Zinn and Gert.
Yeah, I mean come on. I mean, yeah.
Right, yeah. We have to shorten Grant. You can't say Rand and Pids, Apids.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I like to, like, welcome to Grand Rapids. But, you know, I was trying to think of who that guy sounded like today, the waiter. It was...
You sure wasn't John Lennon?
No. I never heard John Lennon speak until he got shot and he said, ouch. But anyways...
Ooh, that's tough.
No, he didn't say ouch. He goes, ah! So anyway, I wasn't there, but a good friend of mine were there, and I said, what was John Lennon's last words? He goes, ah! So anyways, was a movie, there was like, I don't know, one of those old gangster movies, and he's like, all right, well, yeah, and he had that same, I can't think of his name, but there was an old like gangster movie, and I don't know, but an old-time actor that played... You know, these gangsters and all these movies.
I can't think of his name,
but that's who the guy actually sounded like. I remember, you know, watching these old movies and you see. In fact, I think the skit was from, God, this is now talking back to me. The skit that I saw was from the movie Home Alone when he was watching an old movie. Was it James Cagney?
James Cagney, yeah. You're dirty, right? I'm going to get you. Yeah.
He's like, all right, fellas, have a good have a good night. You know, I mean, he sounded like that's who I
So, yeah, so our filet was served by James Cagney. Dino and Steve and I all heard John Lennon. You heard James Cagney. And it shows you where you're
Well, just Dino doesn't really know who John Lennon is. He's never heard John Lennon speak, you know, other than I heard his last words. And Steve would imagine would know how John Lennon sounds. It's funny I said imagine because that's one of his songs.
Right.
Anyways, our Beatles. But but that restaurant was good tonight, and the whole Grand Rapids. Now, when you guys were, out partying it up, I was actually walking around Grand Rapids. I went by the Grand River.
Well, I walked for 2 miles today myself, while you guys were sitting in the. You were gone. You guys were sitting in the in the convention hall in the booth doing your job, and I. There's a record store, vinyl record store. A mile away, so I walked there and walked back, and I stopped and I got something to eat or whatever, and so didn't buy any records, but I had a good tour of Grand Rapids.
The funny thing is, I said to Dino, you didn't go to the Subway right down the street, because you know how much he loves Subway.
Does he really?
And I really didn't think about it, but he hasn't been out. We're at a hotel downtown Grand Rapids, and he has not left the building. Which is scary in itself. Other than
very humid.
Today, we walked across the street for dinner.
To dinner, right?
But he hasn't gone to the Z Bar. He hasn't gone really anywhere. I mean, anywhere around the town. And you're staying in a downtown. It's not like we're in the middle of nowhere. So I felt it was strange that you know, he doesn't even know there's a river outside. He has no clue what's on the outside of his building.
You could find Dino in the convention hall just sitting there staring at that at the sculpture.
And the funny thing is, and the funny thing is, he's up earlier than everybody else. And you know,
he was up with me at 7 o'clock this morning.
And he's probably sitting down there, you know. Yeah. I mean, just amazes me how we're in a downtown hotel and you haven't left the building.
I walked for 2 miles. I took a 2 mile walk today. I stopped for dinner. I even texted you guys. If you guys wanted lunch. Nobody texted me.
We
should explain that sculpture is bizarre. It's wild. It's the most lifelike sculpture, and it's in a public place. It's in the convention hall, right? It's in the lobby. It's up on the second floor. It's like overlooking this window, and it's roped off. And it's a white pedestal, right?
Yep.
I got a picture of it here. It's a white pedestal, and it's a middle to late age gentleman, bald guy, naked.
Yeah.
And it's a woman, probably about the same age, naked as well. He's sitting Indian style.
Yeah.
And she's sitting in his lap. Yeah. They're both totally butt naked. You can't see anything because they're hugging each other. They're face to face.
Yeah.
She's sitting. He's sitting again, and she's in his lap. They're facing each other. You could see maybe the crack of her butt, but it is the weirdest, most lifelike.
I mean, the closer you get to it, the more real it looks.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's toes are curled, and it even looks like their feet are dirty.
Yeah, and even like
the skin lines.
Yeah, she's got tan lines. The skin tone on her leg. I mean, the muscle structure of her leg. I mean, it's probably the most. I mean, I've been to several wax museums, you know, like Wisconsin Dells or something. The greatest wax museums in the world. But no, I'm saying, you know,
Ripley's, believe it or not.
I mean, Ripley's, you know, even he didn't believe it. But anyways, the closer you get to this statue, and I sent it out to a few friends of mine, and they're like, where are they at? And I'm like, no, it's a sculpture, you know.
It looks so real. Even in the pictures, it looks real.
And like I told the one guy, the only reason I know it's not real is because I haven't seen two people like that in love.
Nobody could be in love that much.
But I mean, this is really an unbelievable statue. I mean, it's just, I've never seen nothing like it.
Did you notice like really a nameplate of the guy who sculpted it or anything?
I didn't. How would you like that when you walk in the double door entry of the Cabo Star?
Your place?
Villa.
Yeah.
How could you imagine like having that right in the center of the room, you know, or you just walk around that?
I got to think Michelle's not going to give you the green light on that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, I just couldn't believe it's so lifelike.
It's so lifelike. I picture the guy who sculpted it, like with the, you know, with the carving knife in one hand and his other hand down his pants.
Yeah, I mean,
just kind of rubbing himself, and, you know, admiring his work.
Did he have two people?
He had to.
No, but did he have like two people as a model?
He had to. How could you possibly sculpt something that real without having something to look at?
I think it's quite possible.
You have to have.
It's usually they have a live model when they're painting, not when they're sculpting. Because sculpting takes forever. I mean, it takes a long time.
Well,
the model would, you know, first of all, sitting like that, he would have his legs would be numb. His feet would fall asleep.
But I'll bet you somebody had a sit in that pose and they took pictures of him. He just looked at all these pictures.
Yeah, maybe that would have been it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, no, this is a really, as a recap, this is really a great hotel. Growing up, I've heard of Amway products before, and it was we've always heard as more of a pyramid selling, you know, we always call
it
a scheme.
It kind of is a pyramid.
It's a pyramid. We always call it a pyramid selling scheme. But, you know, being in the fireworks business, I was a big supporter of pyramid selling. But the key to Amway's success is they actually always had good products, and they always seemed to actually sell the product instead of selling you on the idea of selling the product.
What kind of products do they sell?
They sell, from what I remember, they have everything from laundry soap to cosmetics to machinery. They've got a pretty broad range of products.
Well, yeah. So, and I actually, in the list of people from Grand Rapids, Dick DeVos, the chief executive officer of Amway, and Richard DeVos,
they own this hotel. Yeah.
Well, right. And he was the co-founder of Amway. But it's weird. If one guy's name is Dick and the other is Richard, isn't that the same name? They obviously they're brothers.
Yeah, it, I mean, you would think it would be the same. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, the Amway, everything around here is all Amway, Amway, Amway. Yeah. So,
and then everything around here is owned by that. By that Dick DeVos. Wow, look at this guest star.
Hello,
right
Nancy.
Here.
How are you?
Nancy Blojan makes a special guest appearance. This is not. This is not even. This is like the highlight of our day. I mean, this is not something that happens often. Nancy Blojan, for everyone, is the what? You're like the what position do you hold now?
Executive director.
See, I can't even spell it.
grab the microphone.
Here's the executive director. We got to get her some headphones.
She's got them on her head.
I got them on.
Oh, my. Wow, talk about an old pro. I mean, a young pro. I'm going to get hit over here.
Now you're going to be in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble here.
She's already got them on her head. It's on. You don't have to turn it on.
Can you hear yourself in the microphone?
I can't, but I can't. I'm so tired, I can't hear anything.
You can't hear? No, wait.
No, I can hear.
Oh, you can hear. Okay, good. And there's Eddie Heath looking at us there. He's right out of the window. He's still with window, which is one of the few that remained there. Everyone else leaves and starts another booth. How many window booths do we have? A spinoff of window booths. If we have like 140, I think 138
are
windows.
You know, I set up the booths in the trade show since John is gone.
Yes.
And so it's like a game, you know.
Oh,
they say don't put me next to my competitor. Mm-hmm. Well, aren't they all competitors? I thought so, yeah. And so they say, don't put me next to my competitor. And then don't put me next to someone that I used to work for. Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, I know.
Well, there went another 30 booths. And so it's like you keep moving them around. And it's sort of like those little beans.
It's like checkers.
Those beans under the cups, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You just keep moving
them. Oh, yeah, the three emoji or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, you it's just like, keep yeah. moving them around. And then it was so funny because the Chinese delegation last year, they said, Miss Nancy, you put us all together over in one spot, and that was not good. Not good because people didn't want to come over and go by the Chinese delegation.
Oh, so even here we got to integrate the neighborhood.
Okay. So I said, okay, no problem, you know. So this year, And then there's two delegations. There's the Hunan and the Jiangxi.
Yes.
So can't put those two together either.
Gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
So I moved them apart this year.
We're getting awful needy.
So I moved them apart, separated them all around, and then they came to me and they said, "Oh, very bad, very bad." And I'm like, "Very bad. Now what do I do?"
Yeah. You know? Oh my God.
And now the very bad is because they have a interpreter. And the interpreter can't run around to all these booths, so they need to be together.
Oh, wow.
And so it's
like Match.com for pyros.
It is, sort of.
We got to laughing because when I was talking to Nancy in registration, Tony from what's his company? Dancing Fireworks came in. You know, I've known Tony for a long time, you know. And he's asking, we're just laughing and being silly, but he's actually asking serious questions like how to get to the booth to set up and everything like that.
I know, we were not nice.
And then he's like, where am I? Like, we're over here. I go, once you pass all the Americans, you're in the corner. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we just got to make it sound like, yeah, you'll pass all the party buses and all the strippers and the dancers and everyone and the bands, and then you're in that corner where nobody's going.
You're in the party pooper section.
Luckily, a lot of our humor gets lost in the language translation because, you know, no one really, and they just grin and smile and we're laughing, so they just think that we're all friends here, but no, but it was pretty funny. But I'm going to tell you a real funny thing, Nancy, is, you know, I go to China a couple times a year, and I try to get down to the breakfast area about 10 minutes left because A, I don't want to get up early, number one, and B, I don't want to be bothered. You know, they just come and they sit down next to you. Some even take a piece of my bacon. I'm like, it's a buffet. You know, get your own bacon.
They take food off of your plate.
Yeah, they just like make themselves at home. So anyways, so I come down very late and I'm always at the Watien in Luoyang. And I have breakfast. I sit there in my little Sudoku book, and I don't want to be bothered. You know, I'm just trying to have some coffee and get up in the morning here. And then there's one girl, hello, Johnny, how are you? I'm like, oh, my God, she's back again. You know, I'm like, and she always waves me, oh, Johnny. And then she comes down and she sits there, and we're not going to mention any names, but she sits there, and she you know, shows me her catalogs. I'm like, I haven't really had a good year. I don't think I'm going to be buying a lot and stuff. And then she takes my laptop, and she's like, I download this. And then my laptop is all screwed up and everything like that. I got to delete all this, and I have no speed. I mean, it's only a little small laptop, and they just commandeered it with a bunch of their product that I'm not going to buy anyways. So you know, this is goes on in, you know, October for a month, and then this goes on again in April. You know, I'm just there. I'm not even there to buy. I'm just there to check the products. And then, lo and behold, I get to my booth. Hello, Johnny.
You're right next to her.
Who is my next door neighbor?
Oh,
I'm
no.
like, oh, oh my God.
No.
God.
Now next year you're going to say, don't put me next to...
I wouldn't do that to you because we are very good. I consider us very good friends, so I would never complain. But I may just say,
could
maybe
I be in
not...
the book?
Yeah. Well, could I be in the book would be good, yeah. You know. But so anyways, I was just in awe when she goes, hello, Johnny. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a nightmare coming at me every day. Yeah, so it's crazy. I wonder if John Moe's going to talk to us at least a little bit on the podcast. You know,
sit down.
He is an icon in the business. He should grab a microphone, and you know, he's selling another container. Son of a gun, right in front of us.
There he goes, right in front of us.
Right in front of us.
We'll
he's selling
never
another
get
container.
Another one this year.
No.
Who is that, John?
That's John Moe from
Moe
Brothers. And
M-O-E?
M-O.
M-O.
M-O, yeah. That's his M-O.
That's his M-O, yeah.
So anyways, great yes, guy. I think it's been another, I mean, it's a shame we had two rainouts.
Oh, it was so sad.
That was sad,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, they go to, we joke about it, but these guys go to such an effort to get themselves here, because I write so many invitation letters to get these people here, and they make such an effort, and it's such an expense for them,
yeah.
You know, and everything, to get halfway around the world. And, you know, we try to do everything we can to help them to get here. They get their product over here. It's a real hassle. And then what happens? The clouds open up, and you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, and sit down, John. Join us.
Sit down.
Yeah, headphones, microphone. Let's talk.
Put the headphones on.
Oh, dear Lord. We hope he doesn't say anything like he does to us.
He can talk. You have no voice? A little bit. How about just a little bit?
I just can't talk.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's why he didn't announce yesterday, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to talk?
John Moe's voice, I guess, is hoarse. But you didn't announce, the first time you didn't announce your demo yesterday. So I thought maybe it was your voice that was the problem.
Maybe he's talked too much already.
Well, yeah, he is a, but anyways, we're sitting with John Moe and Nancy Blojan. But John Moe is from China, Brothers Pyrotechnics. Great company. We've been doing business with you guys for quite a long time now. And always great product and pretty funny. John Moe meets me in Chicago and at the airport. He comes down the escalator. He's got like an entourage of people. You know, I thought maybe they thought I wasn't going to pay or something. They brought like backup. I'm like, no. I have the money. I'm here, you know. but anyways, so it was good to see his boss, Gary. And we had a couple of factory reps with him, or factory bosses and stuff like that. So it was real good. And John did a demo yesterday, last night at the NFA. So turned
great
out really
product.
Good. Yeah, good
great product.
I remember the Big and Bold from years ago at NFA that stole the show. God, I don't know how many years ago that was, and kind of stole the show
stole
again this
the
year.
Show again.
Yeah, my yeah. God. Great
yeah.
product, you know.
Great product. And that's one thing about Brothers products. It stays consistently good.
Always been consistent
always
and always been good. And great professional. I'll never forget one of the first times in China. They had met me at the airport. Picked me up in that stretch limousine Mercedes yeah. bottle. I love that car.
What is it?
With little, it's a stretch Mercedes Benz 3-door with little flags on. I mean,
really,
know,
like yeah. you're a yeah. like you're a dignitary.
I, yeah, yes. I felt almost like John F. Kennedy back in the day without the bullet, of course. But anyways, so and then you get to the shop and they really make you feel. And they got a nice big sign out there. And to this day, they still have a big sign out there. Welcome Star Fireworks.
Really,
I really very professional.
Very
wow,
professional.
That's very nice.
Very professional. They've been a great. host to you guys when you guys were doing your many trips to China. They would go and
many of our groups have gone through there, and they've been fantastic hosts. In fact, we talk about John Moe having his own entourage now.
Oh my God!
You know, John has been. You know, now he's one of the top managers there, and John and I remember when John first started with Brothers, and he was just a kid, you know.
Oh, wow.
And Ivy, his wife, was very young and working there, and we knew them as kids in the office, you know. And then now they have a child that calls us Grandma and Grandpa. And wow. So... It's true.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
And so it's funny, you know, because we've watched him grow into being very, very professional, and Ivy as well, and watched the company grow as well. It's been a fabulous growth of Brothers. And
I was really always very impressed with Brothers and the warm feeling and the very how would I say,
family?
A very classy and family-orientated place. And, I mean, both him and his wife both worked there.
Well, yeah, it sounds like they've been in there since...
And you guys worked there how many years together before you got married? Probably,
me?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? This is, we just had our 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary.
Back in February.
And you've been with Brothers how long?
Oh, wow. This is my 16th year with
Brothers. 16th year. So, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, and everybody at the Brothers, the artists have been there. A lot of people have been there for a long, long time. And my favorite, who's my favorite at the Brothers company? Take a guess. Who's my favorite?
Supposed to say.
Peter. Peter the Peter is he is the only guy that drives like
drives.
Me. So I can, you know, like anyone else is, you know, like Sam, she has, you know, I call him Batman and Sam's like Robin, you know. And, you know, you can see Sam kind of holding on for, you know, like how most people drive with me. And I'm in the back. I'm just as relaxed as ever because Peter is behind the wheel. That's, I think that's Gary's, it's Gary's
personal.
Cousin. Yeah. But it's his personal
driver.
Mm-hmm. And he always picks me up from the airport. He doesn't speak too much English, you know, but I think he understands more than he speaks. But, you know,
exactly.
He doesn't have to worry about me ever cringing. Because I know Peter is in control, just like I've always been in control.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Some people might beg to differ with you always
in
control.
Well, yes. Yeah. Most of the time I'm out of control, but that's another story.
Yeah.
I have always had trouble with being car sick in China. Mm-hmm. And many of those bus trips, well, let's put it like this. We've had the same guides year after year after year, you know.
Yes.
Many of the same national guides and some of the same city guides, they have known me for so long that they bring something on the bus because they know, okay, well, here we've got your stuff because we know you're going to be car sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, well, I was hoping maybe this was the time I was going to be different,
yeah.
You know. But guess not.
Now you gave her the idea. You jinxed her almost, yeah.
You know, oh, boy. But when I get to Beihai, I'm just like you. Yeah. It's like, oh, thank God, I'm here. I've got Peter. You know, he's not going to drive like a maniac, and I'm going to be fine, you know.
Yeah.
And so the whole group, we may have 30 people, but it's like, okay, get back. I'm with Peter.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, John knows. And he always plays my favorite music in the car.
Mm-hmm,
he always
mm-hmm.
knows what kind
oh, wow.
of music I want.
Yep.
Yes.
Now,
what's your favorite kind of music in the car?
Oh, Peter has, there's certain performers that I really like, and
right.
Peter knows what they are.
Mm-hmm. What name mm-hmm. one of them?
Well, I can't name them.
They're,
I don't know
their
names.
Oh, they're
Chinese.
Oh,
Chinese.
I thought he played American performers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
okay.
She's not getting Chinese. In Peter's car listening to Bon Jovi. This is Peter. This is still Peter's car. She's got clout here, but she doesn't have that much clout. Yeah, you're not going to change Peter's music.
No, okay.
But, no, so we've, and, you know, and not only that, but when I get from Luoyang and I go to Guangzhou to Canton Fair, and that's, you know, that's an international city, so that's nice, and we stay at them, you know, fun hotels and everything like that. But when I get to Bay High, I do really feel like
feel
I'm
relaxed.
Home. You know, and I think it's, you know, with me always, you know, being the water sign, I need to be near water. So when I get on Bay, I'm on the, China Red Sea there.
Yes.
And it's just, you feel more, and the hotel is just nice. And it's a great feeling.
It's
like
a small town. It is a feeling of being relaxed and at home.
Yeah.
It is. Right.
And
it
I never
is.
Feel that way in Luoyang.
Oh,
and,
no.
And, you know.
We try not to conduct the business like a very pushy way.
Yeah, no.
And,
right.
You know, we welcome our friends and our family members and try to take
care
of
like
them all the time.
Yeah, it's, I always said, you know, if I was, if you were going to China, it would be nice to, I wouldn't bring you to Luoyang, but I would bring you to Beihai.
Right.
Just to get a feel of the firework demos, just so you would have an idea, but I wouldn't bring
and
it to
Luoyang.
That's
where Brothers is?
Yeah, I would go to Brothers in Beihai because of the hotel and the atmosphere and being on the water and the lovely, how many good dinners have we had?
Oh, my word.
You walk out, they could just roll me out of some of those restaurants. I mean, and that one I like that we sit outside in those kind of little like tiki huts or whatever on the water. And
what's the name of that place?
Well, let's put it like this: I don't think I have ever had a bad meal in Beihai ever.
Yes.
Well, in English, we would call that fisherman's not
like
fisherman, wharf, like but, a. The boat people's restaurant.
Sailor's restaurant?
Not sailor. There's a certain type of people in the older days. The boat is all they have. The entire family, they live in the boat.
Okay.
They work in the boat. So
fishermen are, yeah.
Right.
Boatmen. It's kind of like a fisherman's wharf type of deal, you know, restaurants on the water.
Yes.
And,
what was the name of that dish that I ate in Las Vegas? It was something, ants on a limb, ants on a tree. What was that thing? And you said, I'm sure you've had this before. And I said, if I did, they didn't call it this.
Yeah.
And we were in a restaurant in Las Vegas. And John said, I said, what am I going to like here? And John said, you'll like this. It was called ants on a limb or ants on a tree. What was that called?
Yeah.
Remember that? And you said, you've had that before. And I said, I don't think so. And he said, yeah, you have. And I said, they didn't call it that. I would have remembered ants on a tree.
Yeah.
Ants on a log,
but
maybe.
Ants on a log or something like that. But it was delicious.
Was that a Chinese restaurant in Las Vegas you guys went to?
It was a Thai or something.
Yeah, it's an Asian cuisine
influence.
Place.
Yeah.
Yes. Was that? I wonder if that was the one in the Cosmopolitan with them real big, huge doors that got floor-to-ceiling doors about as high as this ceiling open up. I don't know if that's a real... I've never been there, but I've seen it.
It was down at sort of at the end of the strip.
Oh, okay.
At the far end of the strip. And it was, the food was good, but I had never eaten there before, and I wasn't familiar with anything on the on the menu, and so John helped me to eat, and it was good. But
They tricked me one time.
I did not remember that.
Ants on a limb, yeah.
Ants on a limb.
Well, they tricked me one time in Beihai. I was eating what they called Beihai French fries.
Oh, yes. I know what that is.
Yes. And,
John's laughing
And then I said, what is this Beihai French fry? And then Sam, and he's an awesome guy. He was a lot like John when he was younger, Sam's younger and just started with the Brothers Company a couple years ago, And he's like, better you don't know, Mr. John. Well, anyone who says better you don't know. So
you're in trouble.
So basically it's like a deep fried, like they call it sea snakes, but it's basically like a deep fried worm, right?
Yes.
Yeah, deep fried worm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice, real nice.
Worms.
Yeah.
Did you keep eating them?
No, I stopped abruptly.
You recognized it wasn't a French fry from McDonald's,
right? The texture wasn't there. You know, and it wasn't square. It was round. The roundness, should have gave me. But as a kid, I could never, the round and the square peg and the hole, I never was good at all that. So it should have tipped me off that French fries aren't round. But, I'm not in the fireworks business because I'm smart. So I stopped abruptly.
Well, I have to tell you a funny story about me in Beihai one time. I always had my hair, you wouldn't know it now because my hair's all cut off, but I always wore my hair teased up and curled, and it was a big deal. I had to get ready every morning with the curling iron and the whole bit. Well, you guys would not know this, but when your curling iron spring breaks, it's over.
Right.
There's no fixing it. It's
time to get a new one.
It's time to trash it. So I get up one morning, and we've got the group of about 30 people there. And I get up, and boing, it's gone. So I call John's wife, Ivy, and I said, Ivy, I can't come out and play today.
No play date.
I remember that.
I said, I cannot come out and play until I get a curling iron. And she said, I don't know what that is. And I said, you know, you plug it in, it gets hot, and you curl your hair with it. And she goes, I don't know what that is. And I said, does anybody in your office curl their hair?
Nope.
Nobody here curls their hair.
Not that I knew of at that time.
Nobody did. And I said, does anybody put rollers? Because I'm thinking, I can do anything here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm desperate. So I said, do they have rollers? Like you just roll your hair around something and leave it in there for... No, nobody does that. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm serious. I can't get out of the room.
No.
So I said, at that time, Pamela...
Oh, yeah, Pam.
...was still working with Brothers.
Yeah. Right.
Pamela was in Europe. She had gone to Europe. And she wasn't she wasn't staying there at the time that we were there. And I said, Ivy, get a hold of Pamela. Pamela curls her hair. Mm-hmm. She said, she's in Europe. I said, I don't care.
What's the time difference? I don't care.
We're talking emergency. Lives are at stake.
That's right. Lives are at stake. Yeah.
So we need a curler.
So she calls Pamela in Europe. Pamela calls me back, and she says, oh, this is really going to cost you. This is really going to cost you. She says, wait till you want something else on your next shipment. This is going to cost you.
There you go.
I said, well, what am I going to do? She said, Gary's wife curls her hair.
Yes. Yeah.
And she said, Peter knows where to take her to the beauty shop. To get her hair fixed and knows where to take, So, long story short, I went to a beauty supply place that was the size of a closet. It was the size of a closet, and they had curling irons.
I
was doing this at like 7 a.m., and I get this curling iron, and I sneak back into my room, and I get my hair curled, and I go out, and we get in the bus, and Ivy goes, did you get your curling iron and your hair fixed? And I'm like, no, we don't talk
this
about
is the way it looks normally.
Yes. prank caller, what are you talking about?
Well,
it was hilarious. And so for years after that, we laughed about, you know, maybe you should carry a spare.
Yes, well, yeah. The high maintenance that some women are. You guys should
not saying anybody at the table.
You guys should have a backup contingency plan. I mean, that would, you know, kind of like that DOT evacuation plan we need or whatever. You guys should have that. But I will say, you know, when you're in China,
point is they went to extreme measures to make me happy. And to take care of the situation.
Well, the old saying, hell hath no fury.
That's right.
Yeah, it comes into play. We got to do something quick.
But that was my point I was leading to is, even if you're in China and you just happen to mention, I like that pen.
Uh-huh.
The next thing you know, the pen is waiting for you at the front desk.
Right.
Mean, no matter what you say you like, I'll never forget we went to Li Ling, of all places.
Oh, yes.
For a fountain factory and demonstration, and never want to go see only fountains. I mean, you know, it's like I think it took 3 hours, and they all did the same thing.
Yeah,
we could have stopped at 2, and we would have been done. But anyways,
torture.
And I didn't want to be rude, but it was the longest. Yeah. And not only that, but the road to Li Ling back then was, I don't even know how it is. I haven't been there in a while, but it was so rough. I mean, maybe a 20-minute drive in the United States took an hour and a half to get to Li Ling. You know,
because of the roads?
Yeah,
because
the roads are so bad. And then you got to topple that with a three-hour fountain factory that makes them all for TNT, which obviously shows you the quality they're doing. But anyways, not going to go there. But so anyways, you know, after this Fountain Factory, we go to this nice Chinese restaurant. And I'm not sure if you guys heard the story, but all these years being in China, you know, you have the Lazy Susan. Uh-huh. And I've never, ever seen the Lazy Susan for sale. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
no.
But they're all over. Every restaurant has them, but I've never seen them in a store.
Sale.
So I just made a comment, wow, what? And it was a beautiful Chinese and the gold, and it was really a gorgeous Lazy Susan. And I said, wow, what a great piece. I go, where do they sell those? I've seen them at every restaurant, but you never see them in a store anywhere.
Is that in the middle of the table?
In the middle of the table with the glass on it.
Yeah, okay.
And it used to be popular in the United States years
right.
ago
right,
and,
right.
and stuff. And so I said, wow, that is really a beautiful Lazy Susan. Well, don't you know I'm leaving the restaurant and it's all wrapped up for me in a bag
to
take home.
Wow.
You know, and of course, I mean, the Lazy Susan's not that big, so you know, not right. the glass. I said, no, that's fine. I can get the glass at home. I see me walking on the airplane with a sheet of glass. But I mean, that's just how it is. You know, you just mention something and the tea sets.
It.
You must have 150 of them. Yeah, you know.
Yes.
And now I'm getting Wait. Just the tea. Just give me the tea. That's fine, you know. But no, and that is it. Just once again, it just the you know. Well, you've been to China. Well, you've been to Hong Kong with me in Macau.
Right.
But it's just the way they take care of you there. I mean, it's just incredible.
Was that everybody, or is it just in the fireworks business in general?
Well, I think it's everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
overall, I think
you know,
is.
We do business in patio furniture, and we've done business in ATVs and UTVs, and it's
I think
all
right.
across.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just, it just goes to show you that it's just, it's, you know, we all have, I bet everyone in this room has a similar story like that. And,
oh,
you
yes.
know,
right.
The ones that travel to China, it's that you go there and you are well taken care of and treated like royalty.
And,
I
just was never afraid, you know, I mean, well, yes, I was. One time we went on a trip. We had a small group. This was in the spring. We had gone in our big group in the fall. And then in the spring, there was 10 guys and myself. And we took this little group of guys in the spring to do some buying. And we had Jimmy, our little friend from Hong Kong, with us, you know, little Jimmy. And he always went with us to help us get around and everything. And we were in Shanghai. And we were out one night from the hotel, and we're out walking the streets, you know, shopping like you do after dinner, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm shopping away, and of course I see something down this alley that I want to go look at, like jewelry or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I jot down this alley, and I'm looking, and then I turn around and I come back, and the guys have disappeared. They have just
Uh-oh.
Gone on talking and walking. And they don't notice that the only woman in the group is
gone.
No longer with them.
Yeah.
You know.
How'd that make you feel? Special?
Yeah. Real special.
Looking for a curling iron.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking for a curling iron. And so I'm like, okay, well, they'll notice I'm not with them. So I don't get excited. And I look in another couple of little shops, you know, along the way, and I'm not paying any attention.
Not looking for them, mind you.
No.
She's just looking at more
I'm
shops.
Just looking
yeah.
at more
shops.
Shops.
Yeah.
More shops.
They'll find you.
They'll find me. No, they don't find me. They just keep going. They're having a good old boys' time.
Yeah.
And they're gone. Now it's like 10:30 at night, and I don't know how to get back to the hotel.
Oh, wow.
Because we're a long ways from
and
the
hotel.
And
there's so many places for them to hide.
Oh, yeah. and I'm just, now I'm starting to think, they don't care that I'm not with
no.
them. And they don't
Have even missed you.
Ever.
No.
No, John's
yeah.
walking and talking, and he
yeah.
don't notice,
yeah.
you know. And so now I'm starting to get real nervous, and it's just packed with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. It's getting mm-hmm. really late. And now I'm really nervous, and I'm almost at the point of wanting to be weepy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. Show your assailants you're tough.
That's right.
I'm going to get weepy now. They'll let me go.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. and man, this is not good. Mm. And so then just when I'm almost at the cracking point,
right.
I hear one of the guys in the group say, "There she is. I see her hair."
The curling iron helped.
Thank God for the blonde hair.
There you go. Yes.
It showed up in this sea of black hair.
Yeah.
Nice. And I said, and then I'm just really mad at all 10 of them. See, not just John. I'm mad at all of them.
Yeah.
And I said, "How could you not notice that I wasn't with you?"
The evil side of Nancy.
The evil side. And then they were sorry they found me.
Well, they're like,
send her back.
Well, you know, that's what happened to me when I was down in Mexico. A little boy came up to me and says, "Sir," he says, "can you help me find my parents?" I said, "There's so many places for them to hide. I wouldn't know where to begin to look. I mean, obviously they don't want you, kid. I mean, this is why kids and me, we never get along good. But yeah. I mean, but I don't. There could be anywhere on this beach. What am I? What am I, Columbo? I don't know where I'm going here. I mean, you know. Oh, Bobby Blake making a special guest appearance.
Oh dear Lord, we're in trouble now. We're in trouble now.
We're losing John.
We're losing John Mode and Bobby Blake.
Bye, John.
We got Bobby.
Thank you.
And Bobby
thank
didn't
you, John.
Say a
thank you, John,
word
for
when
everything.
I wanted
appreciate
him to
it.
Last night.
Who do we have here now? John.
This is Bob Blake. I think you might have joined us last year for a little bit. Bob
yes,
Blake
I
out of
was until Donnie Landis ripped the mic out of my hands.
That's right. You
don't
didn't get
let
kind
him
of
see you.
You didn't
don't
kind of a ham.
You. Yeah, you didn't get much to say last year, Bob, because like you say, Donnie just took the microphone and you know, we tried to put a curtain up to hide him, you know, and you know, when he made the announcement today, it's 4:00. Let's get out of here. I said, I've been thrown out of better places than the NFA. But anyways, Bob Blake is another one that was president of the NFA for president
yep.
at one time.
It's 12:00 right now.
Uh oh.
So.
We're
I don't know.
Again.
It's 12:00. Yeah.
Am I still the vice president?
You're the VP
yes,
of the
until
NFA.
You get, until someone
tomorrow?
Gets elected tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah, you need to have meeting with minutes and all that stuff.
So yeah, he's the VP now. And,
okay.
His company's.
Does that mean he moves on to president?
No.
He thinks he's retiring, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll find a job for him.
For someone else.
Yeah.
Who's,
I wanted
hard
to give somebody else a chance. I wanted to
retire.
You
been doing it? How long you been doing it?
I wanted to retire undefeated like Rocky Marciano.
Which nobody knows about Rocky Marciano.
We
I don't
want to
get
you.
Into the whole racist thing.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, really?
Can you not hear us in headphones?
Can you hear us in headphones?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I can hear you, but
okay.
I can't hear me.
Oh, we can hear you. Talk about now. Try it now.
All right.
Better?
Yeah, I could still hear you, but I can't hear me.
Well, we can hear you.
Okay,
hear you.
All right, I believe you.
You sound great.
You do sound great.
I don't want to go into the... Nobody knows about Rocky Marciano being undefeated, but they all remember the greatest...
You know.
Yeah, the greatest boxer dying a few... couple of years ago, Muhammad Ali. I'm like, wait a minute. A couple
years ago, he just died.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I mean. I'm trying to forget him. But anyways, but I'm just saying, you know, here, they just come up with this Muhammad Ali, you know, the greatest boxer. I'm like, wait a minute, what about Rocky? I mean, it's 50 and all.
Yeah.
And nobody understands. Nobody knows of him. You know, it's terrible. But I don't want to. Ron will edit me, and I'll get for being for being too salty again. But anyways,
sometimes I have to protect you from yourself.
Yes, we did. Well, we did take a walk down memory lane. We had a hot dog over at the dog house, and once again, this Grand Rapids. I've never been to Grand Rapids.
I haven't either.
It's a great town.
This is a really nice town. Now,
it is.
I had a moment of depression out there the other tonight. And, you know, just overworked, you know, as all the rest of them are in the hot tub, you know.
He's questioning his choices, like Dino.
So I decided to have an all-time low, and I went over to Kilwin's because we walked right by there.
Oh.
And Kilwin's is that famous ice cream and fudge place from Mackinac. And they're also in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, where we frequent. So, yes, I sat there, and I had a hot fudge sundae all by myself. I don't want anyone to know
that. You could have invited me.
Yeah. I just
didn't want to pay.
Easy. I would have paid for you because I would have got you the extra lean ice cream. It's real cheap.
Extra lean.
So, it's like the corned beef sandwich. It's very lean. But anyways, so I sat out there, and there's a street singer out there, a girl,
really?
Street singer, and she's...
Yeah.
singing. They were the name of her band is Native Kin. You know, check them out on Facebook. Well, I'm like, well, I don't have that, but anyways, I'll look for you somewhere along the line. So I sat out there by Kilwin's, real relaxing. It's 79 degrees out, having a little ice cream. And Native Kin Lady is her name of her band. She's singing and guitar and singing. I go, wow, this is very, very relaxing city. I had a very good time.
It's a great city, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
And then I came back and saw Dina and Steve in the bar. I'm like, well, weird. How weird is that?
That's good. And we're back to reality.
And we're back to reality, just like that, you know. But anyway, so it is a nice, great city.
But it is a very nice city.
Hotel is absolutely gorgeous. We could almost compete with the APA with this hotel. I haven't got the bill yet, so I'm not really. I'm sure I'll be having ice cream tomorrow when I check out. No.
Don Lannis negotiated this, so we're in good shape.
Are we in good shape? Okay. Good shape. All right. Good. But what a beautiful hotel, a great setting. And I'm not sure if you guys, we talked about it earlier on the podcast. Did you guys get to see that statue on the second floor by the? By the expo hall, you know, where the two lovers. I mean, honestly, the closer I get, the more real they look. I mean,
do you know what they're talking about?
Yeah, I know what they're talking about. I was going to cover it with a blanket.
Yes. One of the Chinese girls walked on. She thought like she caught someone doing something, you know, because we always do that on a pedestal in the middle of an exposition hall here, you know. But anyways, so I mean, I was just amazed by that statue. I mean, it's so real. Like, I mean,
this is a lovely hotel, and you know, I think everybody has really enjoyed Thursday night at the banquet. I did make a joke saying that everyone was in better condition after they had made the trip back and forth a few times over here to the meetings and everything because of the 40-mile walk. You know, we have it's a little jaunt between things. But seriously, it has been a lovely place to have
beautiful.
It.
I think
just
so.
Beautiful. Yeah.
How many people are attending this convention this year?
A little over 1,200.
Wow.
1,200, yeah.
Wow. How many vendors?
Almost 200.
We have... In our trade show this time, well, last year we had 167 booths in our trade show, which was a record for us.
Okay.
And this year we have 198.
Wow.
So it went up
20%.
20%. And our membership went up almost 12%, and full voting members.
Full voting members, yes.
And so it's full companies that are what the vendors need to do their business. So it's just tremendous for the vendors.
Wow. Yeah.
That's great.
And
you're doing a great job,
it's
Nance.
I think so.
Well, I think the VP might have something to do with it, too.
Everything. Yeah. It's the people that just keep spreading the word about what they get when they're here and the service and how much business they do.
Very class operation.
But the trade show, somebody said, it didn't look like we had as many people. And I said, well, the trade show is so much bigger.
Huge.
So much more spacious. The aisles are so much wider.
Huge.
And so it doesn't look crowded.
Well, you know what? I had said the same thing. I says, but I did it in a funny way. And I because we always had such good rapport with Sally Hahn from Canon and Ricky, of course. So I said to Ricky that there's not that many people because you made us all so famous. We all have our own booths now. So, you know, so many of us were customers at one time, and now we're too big. We have our own booth now.
You know?
So now we're all vendors with no customers. But anyways, we chat. We have Tootsie Rolls there. I mean, you know, and they come by and might be like, what are you giving us? Nothing. There's nothing
I know,
here
I
for
go
you.
Trick-or-treating
yeah, yeah,
every
it's
day.
Like trick-or-treating over
you
there.
Trick
you know?
I go with my bag, and I go take candy off everybody's table.
Yeah, no. And there's K.K. Lamb. He's an icon in the fireworks business out of Hong Kong. He's over there.
Didn't we have dinner with him?
We had
dinner with him in Hong Kong.
We had dinner with K.K. Lamb and Rhonda Banker in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So another icon in the business. There's so many famous, what I call famous fireworks.
You know, when you come here, it is such a joy because you see so many people and they're truly your friends.
Yes.
And you get together and it's a week of enjoying seeing people that you don't see other times. Because even when you go to China, you don't see all these people.
No.
It's nice to get together with a lot of people that you don't get to see other times.
Yeah. And some of them you only want to see once a year anyway.
Yeah. A lot of them you don't want, you know. Well, I learned...
once a year's enough.
I learned many years ago... When I ran into your group, Nancy, at a couple of demos, and I said, "Don't ever send me again to a demo with a big group." They're giving me some more bananas and and then you're going too fast. You know, sit down, grab a microphone, and introduce yourself and chat with us. So, anyways, it was
it was
so many demos.
We only have four microphones.
Oh, we're max. We're at max capacity.
I'll give you mine.
You can borrow his. And who are you?
I'm Doug Berta.
Hey, Doug, where are you from?
Oh, Berta Fireworks, right?
We were Berta Brothers. Now we're Motor City and Red Apple, and this week, Pyrostar.
So. Oh, okay.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Where are you guys out of?
Out of Vegas and or Detroit, given the time of year.
Okay.
Nice. That's a nice...
I'm smart. I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
Much better.
He looks more like the Vegas guy. I can see that's the Vegas guy. You're more. I think you're more Detroit.
No.
See? Yeah, definitely Detroit. See, I can... I'm from... You know, my company's in North Dakota, but I'm from Chicago, so I can always recognize the... and Vegas is no stranger to me. I've been there many times, but... yes, I think we've seen...
How are you enjoying the NFA so far?
You know, this show has been incredible. It's been one of the better ones that I've been to. We've been going for a while, but this year I think there's a different energy in the hall.
Yes.
I think everyone's very excited to be here. I think there's a lot of developments, a lot of fresh blood around.
Yes.
So,
Sharks in the water. Sharks in the water.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, everybody said, I'm here directly from the factory. This is my factory, you know. How many times have you heard that one?
Yeah, weird. How many times are we going to believe this, too, you know? I always said the NFA is just a great thing. Now, me and Ron, because we're always brainstorming things, you know, we are sitting there, and we're thumbing through this book. This big booklet, which I think has been the greatest thing in the world from the years ago when we had to get all the pages and put them together. But me and Ron said, you know what? We got to get the Pyro app here. And, you know, who can do it on their
iPad?
Or can use the book? The older ones can use the book.
It'll be easy.
You could sit there on the iPad and just go down. Bob, once again, a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you, Bob.
9:15.
I'll tell you, the app would be an easy thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
We just released an app. We brought it to the show with us, and essentially it's a stand with an iPad on it, and you can take any number of our products or some other products with a barcode or a QR and scan it, and the iPad's connected to a TV, and then you see the video demonstration right above. And this was a complex one, so what you're talking about,
app for the NFA is so easy, but it really would be nice for the more techie, you know, individuals. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people who aren't into that in here, you know, and I'm not going to mention names, but anyway, but for the ones that are, it's a good alternative. Probably could bring down some printing costs and stuff. You know, see, had you guys elected me treasurer, we would already been there.
Did you run for treasurer?
Yes, I ran for treasurer, but I failed miserably. But nobody knows who I am.
Did Dino start a smear campaign or something?
Dino said, if you get elected, I'll have more work to do. Now, I don't know where
I don't know where he got that idea.
Silly idea. First of all, I couldn't even imagine Dino as a treasurer event. I can't even see him on a treasure hunt, let alone being a treasurer. Buried treasure. Yeah, that would be it. But anyway, so we were thinking outside the box. An app to just go on your iPad and just, you know, to see all the demos
right there.
Yeah, it really would be. You know, for the higher tech guys, and it would be.
Map out your whole show.
Now there's getting to be more and more people that are doing it.
Right.
We still have some that...
They would still want the book.
Still want the book.
Yeah.
But, we came a long way from handing out those individual sheets that you could not keep track of.
And they were always, who were short, I didn't get this sheet, and then everyone's trying to run around the table.
That was a zoo.
You had to get there early just to get a spot at the table.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it was crazy there, you know.
And then you always got home missing some. You would always get home missing.
Ricky said he had enough of last night.
He's hovering, man.
He had enough of last night's NFA.
Last night.
Yeah. He took your place, Nancy. You weren't here, Ricky sat in.
Well, that was good. Yeah.
I'd rather have Nancy than Ricky, if we're being honest here.
No.
Now, Ricky could fill in for me anytime.
Yes. I have to say that because he's my ride home from the airport. No.
There you go.
I even told Ricky, since it's on a Sunday that I'm coming to Hong Kong, I will not bother you, because his wife actually thinks that he's going out, you know, out on the town.
Out on the town.
But he's actually picking me up from the airport and going to a very mild-mannered dinner. But his wife doesn't know that.
Quote,
you know?
Unquote, mild-mannered.
Mild-mannered, yeah. Yes. But anyway, so I said, I know it's family day. It's
all
Sunday,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
But,
nice talking to you.
Hey, nice meeting you.
You
take
as well.
Care.
Yep. You as well. See Thank you. Been a pleasure.
Thank you. So anyways, I think the NFA, once again, a huge success, and I like the location. Next year we're in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Is that it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, next year we're going to be in
Erie, Pennsylvania. There you go.
And I love Lake Erie.
We're right against New York. You know, some people are against us going so far east, but we have a lot of members up and down the East Coast. It does help us. It does help us to move it around.
Yes.
We would like to get on a rotation system. The guys on the shoot site.
Yes.
They would love to be on a rotation system, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Yes.
Because that is a real struggle, and it's a struggle for us even with the hotels.
Yes.
And if we could get on a rotation system, but we are growing so rapidly that it is difficult when you get 2 years out. We used to get 3 years out. Now it's 2 years out. And when you're getting that far out, it's hard to know what you're going to need.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, when you get to where you're getting into the bigger hotels.
Come on, Chuck, you can sit down.
When you
Chuck,
get into
have a seat.
The bigger hotels, then it's harder to get a shoot site close by.
Yes. Now, I love that one in Branson where you walked out of the hotel and went right down to the lake. And,
we love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was really a very convenient location as well. But they've all been good. You know, like you say,
lost our ability to have a big enough trade show there.
Yes. See, that's what happens. You outgrow sometimes yourself.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And the
amount of rooms.
And the amount of rooms, yeah. Well, that's what I kind of thought when we were going through that tunnel of love over there. You know,
yes.
I thought maybe we had out, maybe this, some of the rooms were booked here for weddings and stuff like that, you know.
They were booked for another group.
Yes.
There was already
now here is
we have another visitor.
Here
Who's
is
this?
A great visitor, Mr. Chuck Decker of Uncle Sam's Fireworks. Icon, once again, another icon in the fireworks industry.
Well, thanks, John.
You know, you're very welcome. And I got some funny stories and some good stories that me and Chuck shared. I made a delivery out to his company a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we had a very good story. And I might have told you because you're the only one interested in my stories.
Michelle doesn't want anything to do with your stories.
But he gets paid to listen to me. So anyways, your dad, Chuck, owned a supper club Riverside. You can talk into the microphone. You can help me out. Feel free to jump in any times. I don't know. You know, I remember the story. What was it? Go ahead.
My dad and his whole family, his three brothers were all in the Army together. Mm-hmm. Came home. They opened Riverside Ballroom in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so they had the Riverside Ballroom in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it is the last place Buddy Holly played.
Second to the last.
Oh, okay. Then he played where we were in Mason City.
Right.
We went on that tour. But the night before, they were at the Riverside Ballroom in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And then the next night, he played Mason
That's
City,
interesting.
Iowa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of famous people in that era. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Welk. I mean, all the big band eras. Buddy Holly, that was one of the last places, second to the last place he played.
Yeah.
Some of the last known photos of him were taken there. And every year have a celebration of a Buddy Holly evening.
Yeah. And I forgot the one in Mason City, but we went there and toured it. And
Clear Lake. Clear Lake, Iowa.
And then what was the name of that? I went and took the tour there. What was the name of that ballroom there? And it was...
The Surf Ballroom,
yeah. Yes. And it was a funny thing. So I'm walking around the Surf Ballroom, and as I'm walking around and a little tour that we took in the afternoon, there's this guy sweeping up the floors and cleaning out the booth. And it's still to this day, like old-time, you know, ballroom type.
Right.
And you know, I notice him sweeping up in the corner and stuff, and I'm looking on the wall and I'm looking at all the pictures on the wall, and I notice that the guy sweeping the floors is in most of these pictures.
Oh my God.
And his
he's the curator of the museum.
Yeah,
the caretaker.
I mean, right. Yeah. And his parents were frequent at that ballroom for many years, and he would come in as a kid, and then he had got a job there, I guess, cleaning up and doing some stuff, and then he and a lot of the groups that would come through Clear Lake, they didn't really have announcers, and he would announce most of them. Well, he got to know them so much, and they got too friendly. I think the owners, as he says, kind of got a little bit jealous of his relationship, you know, hanging out with the stars or whatever. So they put him back in, kind of like what Star does to me, put me in a warehouse, you know, so I don't get out. But many of the pictures were of that caretaker introducing all these famous stars. I was shocked at that. And he's still there. He's been there for, like, I don't know, like 30, 40 years or something.
And of course, the place is still there. It's now basically a Buddy Holly Museum.
Yeah.
The building, once you get near it, you'll notice it's curved and arched roof like a Quonset hut. Mm-hmm. That was the style back then. So is Riverside Ballroom in Green Bay. They're both similar architecture. And they've turned it basically into a Buddy Holly Museum. There's a lot of good stuff.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
I got postcards and pins and you name it.
And everyone that came through there signed their name on the wall.
Yeah, a lot of graffiti in the dressing room.
Yeah, green, you know, the green room, I call it. As when Ron is setting up all this, I'm like, I'll be in the green room. You know. But anyway, so tell us a little about yourself, Chuck. What is your role here?
Well, Uncle Sam. Tell us about Uncle Sam.
Yeah, you're always doing. You're out on the shooting line, I think, sometimes. You're always doing something.
I like to be on safety.
On safety, okay.
Keep people safe.
Yeah, good. That's good.
I'm in the retail Class C business, consumer fireworks.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Where's Uncle Sam located?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, Green Bay. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a store on 41. Green Bay.
And then your role here, I know a few years ago I was able to get a demo in, but it's been a while, but who's counting the years? But anyway.
Wink, wink.
I remember I brought the product to you, so you were the one receiving the product, and at that time, I'm not sure if you still do that or whatever.
I was probably just helping out at the time.
Okay, helping out.
I'm basically a member that comes here, why most members come, to see the good product.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
That they put on display. All these vendors come. Tonight, I saw some of the best shells I've ever seen.
Really?
Now we only deal in Class C, but tonight they had two Class B shows, and some of those shells were Japanese style.
Oh, the Japanese style.
Let's explain for the listener. So a Class B is commercial.
Commercial grade
Class
fireworks.
C is the stuff you could buy consumer. Yeah. And what's a Japanese shell?
Go ahead.
That's a style. A type of structure shell that's... The men that make it are real artists.
Okay.
It's just a magnificent performance.
They're a little bit more intricate and more precise than the Chinese, right?
Yeah. A little more expensive.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more expensive.
Now, how do you think those compare to shells made in Spain and Italy?
I believe their style is more of a canister shell. Japanese are ball style.
Ball style, yeah.
Yeah, so a little different style, but they're all amazing.
But they're all really
amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Wow, that was... I remember quite a few years back at PGI... I don't know if it was Aaron or whoever, they did a show there, and they had all these shells from Italy and Spain and all over, and they were some of the most beautiful shells I've ever seen. And of course, they didn't end it with a barrage of just ear-deafening salutes, and they almost got like booed. And I'm like, this show was one of the best shows ever, but because they didn't whack you in the face with a loud mortar shell, you didn't appreciate it. But so that was my first look at some of the shells from Spain and Italy. And
was that in
like
Malta?
I'm trying to think where that. It was a while back there, and that was some of the greatest shells. But you know, but I don't think I've ever. I think I've seen some shells from Japan. I'm not sure though if I have or not. But they're really extreme.
I saw a documentary on it, and they showed how they make it. It's almost religious the way they make their shells.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I knew they were going to be good, and they were tonight. I was really, really impressed.
It's amazing when you go from country to country, and Chuck and I have done that. You know, we've traveled around, and you have too, to other countries. And you see the variety of the way that other countries make shells, and each one has their own style. And when you see some of them and you're just in total awe, and like you were talking about Malta, you know, I saw some of the prettiest things I had ever seen in my life there. And, it's just incredible. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to go to Japan in April, and I'm looking forward to seeing some there.
Oh, cool. That'll be nice.
Wow.
I'm going to Tokyo in October. Well, I'm going to do Korea, then I'm going to do Tokyo, and then, of course, I'm not going to see any shells. I'm really just going to party, you know, but I'm not really going to, you know, I mean, I'm going for sparklers or something. I'll make something up. But anyways,
as long as Michelle is listening.
Yeah. So, I better edit that out of here. But anyways.
But you can get a tax write-off, right?
Yeah, just, you know, but, you know, I mean, I want to see, I always heard, you know, Tokyo is the place to go. So I want to see Tokyo and stuff. And, you know, I'm going to skip North Korea.
That would be a good idea.
But I want to see Seoul, so then I might as well, just as long as I'm going over, I might as well just kind of incorporate these little vacations in, you know.
I want to go have another beer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to the afterglow.
All right, Chuck. Well, thanks for stopping
Chuck,
in on
thank
us.
You.
And
thanks for coming again this year, Chuck. I don't think you hardly ever miss an NFA. And
no.
We look forward to seeing you every year.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Oh, that was good. See, I like when we get a few people talking. Right. It's always kind of nice. And this is like for me and Ron, and we take the show on the road, but we're only two on the road. So when we come to the NFA, this is our. I mean, look what they did for us here. They brought in this special table for us. You know, I mean, this is really nice.
Yes.
The guy in the back there, I don't know his name. You talk with him, but he
Jacob.
He brought this nice table out for us and set us up real nice and stuff. So this is our most professional, you know, when we do this, this is like our most professional. And then so you guys all help us out a lot and stuff. And that's really kind of fun. And we enjoy it here a lot, you know.
Ron
loves the NFA.
I love it. Well, way better PGI. Yeah, this is like Nordstrom compared to Kohl's.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Nordstrom guy. Yeah. This is great.
PGI is the closest I get to camping.
Yes.
Yes, me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yes.
When they get to the part of camping, I'm out of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some of the people came by this year, you know, I had a booth at PGI for NFA.
Yes, I remember.
And they came by, it was like, it was hotter than holy hell.
Oh,
and
no.
They came by, like on Thursday, and they said, we haven't had a shower all week. And because the showers were down. And Linda was working in my booth with me. And Linda says, I really wish they hadn't told us that.
Yeah. Too much information for us at this booth. Yeah.
Haven't had a shower
all
week.
Well, I guess I don't camp.
Maybe. I don't either.
I guess the on-site toilets and showers were flooded or something.
Yeah.
People walked in and they were in a foot of water. A couple inches of water or something like that. So
it was
that
all down.
Yeah. But me and Dina were very happy to, you know, they stuck us in the poultry barn. But anyways, but we were happy that they had a concrete floor this time, because last time we were there,
it was a dirt
floor.
Yes.
Yeah, a little better.
You've never seen flies on a dirt floor and your ankles.
I remember Mason City was hay and dirt.
Yes.
But it's all fun and, you know, and stuff. And
speaking of fun.
Yes.
They're going to kick us out of here soon.
Oh, okay.
But we do have something. We do still have another 13 envelopes.
Oh, Nancy, you have to stay for this.
Do you remember Johnny Carson?
You remember Johnny Carson.
Yes.
Do you remember his Karnak?
Karnak.
We have Starnak.
Starnak.
Will you sit here and listen to us do this?
Me tell you, Nancy, I am just as good.
Are
you going to wear the hat this time or no?
I can't wear the hat. I think I'm better than Carson.
There's your
I was practicing. I should have brought my glasses again, but that's okay. I'm good over here.
You good?
Yep.
All right. Are we ready for this?
Yes.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready. See, not professional or what?
If we are nothing, we are professional.
Yeah, so I'm going to hold this way back.
Ready? Now. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited today to welcome a very distinguished visitor who is making a special appearance here on this episode of the Fireworks Brigade, a pyro podcast. Here at the NFA in Grand Rapids, Michigan, heaven has no brighter star than the omnipotent pyromaster and former gynecologist to the Kardashian family, including Caitlin, Starnak the Magnificent.
Yes, thank you for that intro.
Insult. You got to insult me.
Yes.
I even got you some insults.
May a camel with a weak kidney find your stash of bottle rockets.
All right. Welcome once again, O great sage, famous seer, all-knowing, all-seeing, and honorary Grand Marshal at last year's FIMSA Day Parade. I hold in my hand these envelopes. As a child of four can plainly see, these envelopes have been hermetically sealed. They've been kept on a mayonnaise jar since noon today on Funkin' Wagnall's porch, and no one knows the contents of these envelopes. But you, in your borderline divine and mystical way, will ascertain the answers to these questions, having never, ever seen them before.
Okay, I am ready, and my mind is sharp tonight.
All right, you can give me one more insult if you want.
I'll give you a couple insults there. Right. Let me see. All right. May a weird pyrotechnician light a Roman candle in your pants.
All right.
That's enough of those.
Let's get started. Remember okay. How this goes?
Yes, all I right. Remember.
Put it up to your head. There you go.
Ron, and I got, oh yeah, right here. And then Ron told me I must blow into the envelope like
just
Johnny
like
Carson.
Right, Nancy?
That's right.
You can hold the microphone up. Didn't okay. He used to blow into it, right?
Yes, he had to blow into it.
And where's my first clue?
It's on your thing.
Oh, yes, okay.
Oh, Lord, don't mess up.
Okay. I'm thinking very hard. I'm thinking a cat. I'm thinking Pussy Willow.
All right.
Let me see if I
Pussy
get
Willow. See, you got to like squeeze it and you blow at the same time.
Well,
there you go.
Like I told you, like I told Ron last night, I never blew an envelope.
Pussy.
How do you Willow. Introduce your cat to the next canister shell?
Pussy Willow. Oh, there you go. There you go. Number
like
one.
Okay.
All right. Here's envelope number two.
Oh my God. What about one word answers here would be nice. I'm think.
Hold it to your head.
Yes, I'm You're holding thinking? It to my head.
All right. What is it?
I'm thinking Elmer, Ryan, Reynolds, and anything purchased at Phantom.
Elmer. Ryan Reynolds, mm-hmm. and anything purchased at Phantom.
Watch this, Nancy.
Okay.
Oh, you got it. You blew that.
That was good. That was good.
Name a FUD, a stud, and a dud. Poor Bruce.
Poor Bruce.
All right. Next envelope.
Okay. Next envelope. I am thinking. Oh, my God.
Got to hold
eyes.
It to your head, man.
Yes. Hold it to the head. I got it. Wait, who we got? Are those reading glasses?
These are. Okay, but I'm blind as a bat, so.
Oh, no, I can see great now.
Light help.
This is bad when Karna can't see. Okay, I am thinking, praise the Lord and pass the shell. That's what I'm thinking.
Praise the Lord and pass the shell. All right.
Do not try this at home.
You're getting darn good at that.
What's the best thing to do if you swallow a shell?
Okay. Praise the Lord and pass the shell. There you go.
You have to think about that one.
Next.
Now I am thinking breakfast. So I'm thinking snap, crackle, and pop.
Snap, crackle, pop. You can give me an insult, too, every once in a while. I like those.
Yeah. You like those insults. I'll give you another insult there. May you fall asleep. Oh, wait, we used that one already. May a pedestrian pyro take a shining to your sister.
There you go. Wait, what was it again? Snap,
this
crackle?
This is snap, crackle, pop is all what right. I'm thinking.
What does it say?
What noise does Dino's liver make? Poor Dino. We just can't get enough of them there, you know? Now, if Dino was here, he'd say, May Grandpa Chucky be deemed your designated driver.
There you go.
For those you don't know, that's my father who is 81 years old and likes to drink every night.
Yes.
And still smoke as Paul Malls.
All right, next.
So now I am thinking, what am I thinking? I'm thinking Oscar. I'm thinking Meyer. I'm thinking Bologna.
Well, I think it's B. Spell it out.
Oh, spell it out. It's Bologna.
All right.
That's how it was in your head.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
So the answer is Bologna. Bologna.
How does a typical Phantom employee spell backgammon?
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was bad.
Oh, my God. Let's see. Let me see here.
I love those glasses.
May an unclean Dino have an accident on your forklift.
Oh boy.
Another one of Dino.
Poor Dino.
Oh, this poor guy. Okay, so where am I at?
Look at me with those glasses.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go. You and Nancy both. There you go. Nancy, all right, next.
Is he making fun of us again, Nancy?
he is. Next. We're
Bologna,
used to it.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Bologna.
Word,
it's the one with Bologna. I mean, okay. How does a typical...
Yes. How does...
No, how does a typical...
Oh, yes. Here we go. Oh, how does a typical Phantom employee spell gag? Okay.
Back that was the last one, right?
Yeah. Now, I'm thinking a great company, Winda Fireworks here. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking Winda. So I'm thinking Kung Fu Panda 3 and Ghostbusters 2.
All right. Okay. Kung Fu, the very good movies. Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yes. Kung Fu 3 and Ghostbusters 2.
Right. All right. Yeah, two movies. Kung Fu Panda 3, Ghostbusters 2.
What was the final score of Kung Fu Panda Ghostbusters hockey game?
There you go. There you go. That's kind of a weak one.
Yeah, that was a weak one.
Boo. Johnny's on a roll.
One of my favorite reality shows is that Iron Chef. So I'm thinking Iron Chef, a spasm of the diaphragm, and Obamacare. Oh, my God. Oh. I'm getting sick.
Iron?
Oh, great one. Oh, yes, great. Iron Chef.
I'll repeat, you open the envelope. Okay. This way we save time. Iron Chef, a spasm of the diaphragm, and Obamacare.
Name a bake-off, a hiccup, and a rip-off.
Oh, I think that might be
that might be the best one.
That's the best one?
That might be the best one yet.
All right.
I'm thinking of the warehouse right now at Star. So I'm thinking the Four Stooges come to mind.
The Four Stooges. The Four Stooges.
How would Dino see the Three Stooges? Oh, my God. Poor Dino. Oh. All right.
And I thought we didn't have many Dino jokes in this one. I guess I was wrong.
As my brain is wearing thin, I'm thinking we're Big Ben, done. LeBron James, and buy one, get one free. The words you never want to hear in Star Fireworks. Yeah.
Big, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
Big Ben, LeBron James, and buy one, get one free.
Name a clock, a jock, and a croc.
Oh,
it's amazing the effort. I mean, where does he come up with these?
Good it's you, God. Starnak. Oh, my Starnak's God. On a roll, but apparently this crowd would laugh at Dino backing up onto a Roman candle.
Yes. There you go.
Put your right leg in and take your right leg out. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. Now that is
oh,
one
that's
of my
a long
favorite
one.
Wedding
song.
That's
song.
One of them.
The only one I knew how to dance to.
Put your right leg in, take yes. your right leg out. You
now,
do the hokey pokey, and you turn
see.
Yourself about.
What's the last thing you'd want to do with an M80 live in your mouth?
Well,
okay.
We got three more.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, you're going to have to hurry.
Spam and O.J. Simpson is what I'm thinking.
Spam and O.J. Simpson.
Which is still quite popular in Hawaii. Okay.
Spam and O.J. Simpson.
Name two things that will be in the can for the next decade.
That was a groaner.
And prison has not been good to that O.J. Have you seen how bad
he
looks?
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I don't think his boyfriend likes him either. Bungee diving and a date with Rhonda Banker.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's kind of
bungee jumping and a date with Rhonda Banker.
That would be you.
I felt I had to make fun of myself if I was going to make fun of Dino so much.
Name two things that end with a jerk on your leg. Oh, my God. A jerk on your leg.
Okay.
After that one, I'm thinking Beavis and Butthead is coming to my
Beavis
mind. Beavis
and
Butthead.
Butthead. All right. Beavis and Butthead.
Butthead. I think we need another.
You'll save an insult for the last envelope. Yeah, save it. You can even read off a couple of them. Beavis and Butthead.
Who's currently running the PHMSA and the ATF? I should know that firsthand after this year.
All right. And I hold in my hand, John, right here.
Yes.
The last envelope.
All right, I'm trying to get a vibe here.
Well, you gotta now you give me an insult. The last envelope, you always give me an insult or two.
I'm gonna give you yes. May your only son work at Phantom Fireworks.
Give me one more.
I'm gonna give you one more. I have to know how to do this. May a syphilitic ATF agent put splinters in your reloadable tubes.
Oh, my God. The last envelope.
The last
Starnak from the NFA in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
The last of them, I think, is put. You know, this has put so much pressure on me. I'm going to say this is under pressure.
Under pressure for the last one. Although I got a feeling
I got the envelope.
I got a feeling we might have to revisit this next year at NFA.
Describe Ron the Banker's belt.
Under pressure. There you go.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yes.
All right. Well, Nancy, thank you once again for sitting in with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We always have a lot of fun. We can always count on you, Nancy, to laugh at my jokes. Nobody else does, but, you know.
I always enjoy being around you. You're a great guy.
We've always had so much fun.
Always had fun.
We'll see you next year in Erie, Pennsylvania.
See you there.
All right.
John, we're out. See you later.
See you later. Oh, that was fun. Thank you so much, Nancy. We make the show. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. We've seen your song before, sir. No wonder Donnie Landis drove this out. I'm going to the green room. This episode, we didn't talk too much about pyro, but we talked a lot about the NFA and stuff like that. So, you know.